This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I'm doing great, JL. Good morning. And I guess Rex Ryan's kind of turning into Skip Bayless now all of a sudden, right? I mean, just taking shots at everybody left and right. And I heard Jerry and Al talking about it. I feel bad for Geno Smith. What did he do? He did nothing. He just probably sitting somewhere and probably reading his text messages and following Twitter and social media and Instagram and all that other stuff. And all of a sudden, guess what pops up? The story of Rex Ryan just kind of undercutting Bill Belichick and his brilliance as a coach and talking about how Tom Brady basically has made who Bill Belichick is. Now, I think it goes both ways. I really do. I think the most important person that a team can hire is their head coach. He's the guy that is the CEO. He's the guy that sets forth the path both on the field and off the field. He's the guy that speaks to the fans more than anybody. And nobody can discount what he has done up there, not only because he is the coach, he is also the general manager, in a sense, and makes all the decisions up there. So, yeah, Tom Brady is a great player, the greatest quarterback of all time, and you're probably not going to win nearly maybe two or three more Super Bowls than you won without him. But, you know, they've had great teams, great players. He's made tough decisions. So I don't want to get into that debate, but poor Geno Smith just sitting around and all of a sudden Rex Ryan takes just a stab at him. And I mean, literally a backstabbing, I just drive the knife in. I mean, it was, when I saw that, I was like, I can't believe Rex did that.
Yeah, and it was bad. And then also the way he talked about Amari Cooper, it's not like Amari Cooper is some sort of complete dog in the NFL, and to call him a turd in the way that he did. Yeah, the Brady-Belichick argument is something we've talked about forever. That's not as interesting to me as what's interesting about what you said in the beginning about this Rex Ryan heel turn into somebody who is just out there throwing grenades across the league. It's almost as if he realized that the first year or so that he was on TV, it wasn't working. You know, the Rex Ryan that was up at the podium that was joking and laughing and he could get by based on his personality alone, it wasn't working. So then he started, someone told him, like, yeah, be a little more critical. If you're not going to get back into the NFL, doesn't look like anybody wants you to coach, then who cares about these relationships that you're worried about? Just start crushing people. And that's what he's done. He's been crushing people. And you're right, poor Geno Smith yesterday, you know, he was doing that thing on Twitter. I would never go and look at Geno Smith's tweets unless something like this was going on. But I go back and look at his Twitter and he's doing that thing like, I don't care, I'm going to stay above it, it doesn't matter to me, but then writes like 50,000 things after that. And he was right about one of his tweets. He said, somehow I'm caught up in a feud and I'm the scapegoat, the same guy that drafted me. So he's right. I mean, he got caught. You know, Belichick and Rex Ryan have never liked one another. Rex Ryan's on TV, and he's trying to discredit both, you know, Brady and Belichick and everything that he's trying to do. And then he uses Geno Smith, and then Geno Smith is just getting squashed on national TV. And in all this craziness that's going on in the world, now Geno Smith has to feel horrible because his ex-coach had probably said all these nice things about him and he thought he had a good relationship with, just filleted him on ESPN. I did feel bad for him yesterday. Not like Geno Smith deserves some sort of credit for his NFL career, but you know, that was unnecessary yesterday.
Yeah, well, it just came out of the blue, that's why. And I would think that Rex is doing exactly what you're saying he should be doing, become more vocal, say the crazy things that he said when he was a head coach. It carried a little bit more weight when you're standing up there behind a podium as a head coach saying we're not going to kiss anybody's rings. You know, that's kind of interesting. You know, he does have a fascination with Bill Belichick. We all have to remember that he did go up there and beat Belichick in a playoff game in Gillette, which was a big deal back in the day. He took the Jets to two AFC championship games. I'm not so sure that he wanted Geno Smith as his quarterback. I think it was John Idzik who drafted Geno Smith. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Yeah, but, right. I mean, the way Geno looks at it was, you know, Rex is there as the coach, and Rex had a lot to say with football, and then when he gets drafted and comes in and Rex is saying all these nice things about it, he feels like Rex Ryan was part of the regime, because he was, that drafted him, and that's the way he feels. He felt like, all right, there's someone in the league that wanted me badly enough to bring me in. This guy's the football coach. You would think that he would have to be on board, or at least not vehemently against him being a Jet.
I felt like at that point Rex had his legs cut out from underneath him. You know, once they went away from Tannenbaum and they brought in Idzik and they kept Rex, it was just another one of those things. You know, a general manager wants to hire his coach, and you know they went about it the wrong way. You should have just cleaned house totally if you're going to clean house, or just keep Mike Tannenbaum and Rex together. But Mike Tannenbaum's the end of his tenure came, you know, with the hiring of and the signing, I believe, of Tim Tebow. You know, that's where it all started, and I don't know, still to this day haven't figured that one out. But anyway, the whole thing with Rex is not I guess it's all not that amazing. It's just that the aggressiveness over the last couple of weeks, and think about when Geno was being scouted out of West Virginia back in his draft year, and you remember he started out as the number one overall pick and kept falling and kept falling and kept falling and kept falling, and then finally, in the second round, you get there and you're saying, wait, but this guy at one point in time was supposedly going to be the number one pick in the draft. It's probably like in September of October of that college season before that draft.
Yeah.
And he fell and fell and fell. And I guess the Jets felt like, you know, listen, this was too good of a player to pass up at this point in the draft. And that's probably why they brought him in. Again, I think that's more if I felt like it's more of an Idzik thing than it was a Rex thing. And, you know, the fact that Rex is a defensive head coach, you know, also, I think, hurt Geno Smith. I think the whole ground and pound and we're going to kill him with defense as long as we don't turn it over, you know, the way that the Ravens had done it for all those years. It just never meant that Geno had a chance to flourish. Even if he didn't have a chance in hell to make it as a great quarterback, he just didn't have the right opportunity because he was in the wrong situation with the wrong coach, the wrong general manager, the wrong team at the wrong time for his career. And that's why getting drafted by a team, especially as we speak about the draft coming up in 2 weeks, it is so paramount for all of these players to go to the right spot. You know, DK Metcalf last year, if you remember, a lot of people were talking about him as a first rounder and he was going to be this stud. And then you saw those pictures before the draft. He was so ripped. And I think some of those pictures probably shied teams away from him because they thought maybe he was more of a bodybuilder than he was a football player. And then the Seahawks get him in the second round and he gets put with Russell Wilson. And it's like the best thing that ever happened to that kid. If that kid goes and plays somewhere else with some other slap quarterback at Jacksonville or something like that, you may never even heard of him last year. But because he played with Pete Carroll as his head coach, Russell Wilson as his quarterback, all of a sudden he came to the forefront and had a spectacular year given where he was drafted and what was expected of him. So I think the opposite happened for Geno Smith. So all these players that are out there right now getting ready for the draft are all hoping that they end up going to the right place with the right coach. That's why a guy like Chase Young, if I were him, I'd want to make sure that I'm going to go play for Ron Rivera. That's who I would want to play for right now if I were him, and they have the second overall pick. So I know there's going to be a lot of discussion about a trade between Washington and somebody, whoever wants that next quarterback, or the Detroit Lions at number three, who may trade out of their spot and still be able to get the guy that they want at five where Miami is, if Miami is as aggressive as everybody's making them sounding to be right now.
Yeah, and there's one last thing on Geno Smith before we could talk more about the draft. I was thinking about this yesterday when this was unfolding. I mean, in recent memory and maybe in the history of both the Jets and Giants, there hasn't been one guy who has been a bigger punchline for both franchises than I think Geno Smith has. And I'm not trying to slam him in any way. I'm just stating the facts. I mean, his history with the Jets, we all know. And then his role in the Eli Manning benching situation, where he was the guy who replaced Eli Manning and stopped the streak, and everybody just lost their minds, and his name being used over and over again, rightfully so, in all the takes there, which was if it wasn't Geno Smith, it was the fact that it was Geno Smith that replaced him. It was Geno Smith. I mean, it's hard pressed to find a guy who is, I don't want to use maybe as strong of a word as reviled, but I'll just use punchline. It's hard to find a guy who is a bigger punchline for both the Jets and the Giants in recent memory and maybe of all time with those franchises than Geno Smith.
You know, when you think about Geno and you look back at his numbers and some of his statistics, his first year, his rookie year, he started 16 games. And the team was 8-8, and he had thrown 21 interceptions. 12 touchdowns to 21 interceptions. Now compare that to what Daniel Jones did this past year in less games. I mean, you know, it's pretty impressive what Daniel Jones did, and it's one of the reasons why I think Dave Gettleman picked him 6th overall. But, yeah, he had a very rocky road here. There is no question about that. And then the unfortunate situation to be put in to go on the road and replace Eli Manning. And it wasn't because of an injury. It was because of a coach's decision. And that really set the Giant fans off. So, yeah, it's unfortunate for him and his career. And, you know, why Rex decided to take a shot at him the way he did yesterday is really, you know, I think it's uncalled for personally. I didn't like it. And I'm glad that Geno actually fought back a little bit and got after Rex.
Hey, this is Rex Ryan.
Hi,
Rex. Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome.
Yeah. You're welcome, Rex. Yeah, I think that to use someone that he coached is a bad look in a couple of ways. One, there's a pre-existing relationship there, and you don't know how Geno Smith feels about you. And even if it's a bad relationship, that's just not something that you do when you guys work together and trying to fight for the common goal. I mean, I think you can make your point without having to single out somebody who is an innocent party. He could have brought up any other schlub quarterback, and it could have been fine. I just think that the fact that it was a guy that he worked with, it was someone where I'm sure that Rex, in the way that he is and the way that he loved all of his players, and you heard all of that, and this is a guy who got a Mark Sanchez tattoo, for crying out loud, that all the things in the past that Geno Smith is probably thinking to himself, oh, this guy said this about me and that about me and this about me, and now he's saying this, and that's why he called him a snake in one of the tweets as well, which is indeed the go-to insult amongst professional athletes these days. But I think that you could have made your point a different way. I mean, and this whole Brady Belichick thing is going to go on. It's going to continue to go on because of what happened with Tom Brady. And I get it. There's no sports going on. And Tom Brady goes on Howard Stern and reignites some of these conversations about the two of them as Brady touches on that a little bit in the interview, but not so much. That wasn't the interesting stuff. I mean, he did talk about Belichick wanting to plan for the future and how he thought that he wasn't going to be there at the beginning of this year and all of those things, which we kind of assumed. I guess really the more interesting stuff that came out of that interview was the stuff that was going on in his marriage, and he went into that type of stuff, and he talked about, you know, showering with teammates, and they had a laugh about that whole thing, and Gronk and so on and so forth. But, you know, the Brady Belichick thing, I mean, I know people want to split that up, and it's just such a natural sports argument, like who's more responsible? But, I mean, I think it's fair to say, even though it's a boring take, that they needed one another to have the success that they had. Now, in separate places, yeah, maybe they would have won a Super Bowl or two, or maybe Belichick would have won 6, and maybe Brady would have won 6. We're never going to know, but to me, it's the boring take, but it's probably the realest take, is the fact that they needed each other, and it was the most perfect marriage that we have seen in NFL history. That's what it was. You can't say that 60% of it was Belichick and 40 was Brady, or vice versa. I mean, that stuff is just, it's exhausting, those type of conversations.
Yeah, I think so too. And I'm you know, I listened to some of it yesterday, and I didn't glean anything from it. I didn't learn anything from it that I didn't already know. It just sounds to me like Tom, the whole thing got boring for him up there in New England. And you know, New England wanted him for OTAs, and he was not going to OTAs because obviously Giselle got tired of him going to OTAs and wanted him around more. And that was one of the interesting things, I guess, that came out of that interview yesterday. But, you know, for me, none of it was surprising. And, you know, when Bill Belichick says, are you going to be here for OTAs this year? And he says, no, then, you know, I can't not have you here. It's kind of like what Green Bay went through with Brett Favre before they finally handed the reins over to Aaron Rodgers. It's not fair to Aaron Rodgers that, you know, that you're taking off and going back to Mississippi and, you know, and working on the farm and everything while he's up here working his ass off with his teammates. You know, you got to make a decision. And he made the decision that, you know what, I'm out of here. And it took him a while to get over it. But, you know, he's the one that determined his fate in Green Bay, just like I believe Tom Brady determined his fate in New England.
Yeah, and I think that it felt like it was time for a long time. I mean, the way that Tom was talking about this and the way that you look back now with the way that it was, I mean, when Adam Schefter was saying that stuff back in the fall, he wasn't wrong. It seemed like Tom Brady was planning for this. You know, he wanted to make sure that everything was exhausted as far as maybe him staying and talking to Robert Kraft and seeing what could happen. And it seemed to me that Bill Belichick was going to move on. If Tom wanted to play at a reduced rate, they could go at it again, but he wasn't going to. And it just seemed like Tom Brady felt like that he wasn't wanted there any longer. And that's a tough thing for someone who is as successful as him that feels like he hasn't lost a step at all when he's going to be 43 years old going into this season. So, you know, regardless of his age, you know, he's got to look at his resume. He's got to look at the way he feels. And then he sees this organization planning for the future. And he said, I don't blame him for that. I mean, at some point when a guy's 42, 43 years old, you got to think about who's next. But I just think that he had a tough time dealing with the fact that this team didn't look at him the way that he looked at him. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers still looked at him as Tom Brady of 5, 6, 7 years ago, which he may be. He may come out and have a spectacular season. I don't know if some of the struggles that the New England Patriots had on offense just falls in Tom Brady's lap this year. Yeah, he's not the same guy that can make every no-name wide receiver better like he was maybe earlier on in his career, but you surround him with the weapons that certainly the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have at wide receiver, and if O.J. Howard ever turned anything at tight end, or maybe, shockingly, if Gronk comes back, which I do think is a possibility, and we'll see what they do at running back, he's got him there. He's got him there, and he's also got a head coach that's completely opposite than Bill Belichick. So it's going to be as weird as it is to picture him in that uniform, and it's going to be another one of those things that we look back on, like Joe Montana in the Chiefs uniform. I do really believe that it has a good chance of working.
No, I do too, and I think he'll bring the best out in everybody. That's exactly what Peyton Manning did when he went to Denver. You know, you had all these young guys around him, and next thing you know, he's throwing the ball down the field. They're making catches. He's telling them what to do in the huddle, at the line of scrimmage, on the sideline, in practice. And he basically overtook that entire franchise. And I expect that Tom Brady will do the same thing down in Tampa.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.